Reading Proverbs chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Well, we live in an age where we want to know everything, and where we do not respect boundaries of knowledge or inquiry. I found it chilling to read about the doctor who performed hundreds of operations on women unnecessarily this last week. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
One of his victims described him as playing God over their bodies. Well, this is only one area where we want to play God. Now we want to decide the time of our death and pretend that we have a right to die with dignity, without pain. I note that executions in Arkansas were stopped because it was noted that the painkillers may not have been working on the convicted men. They had a right, it seems, to die without pain, regardless of the pain that they might have inflicted on their victims. Of course, I'm not suggesting that state executions should be conducted in any way that brings unnecessary discomfort. But it does seem a strange dichotomy that you can take life and that your life is taken in return, but that you have the privilege of a painless death, whereas your victims do not. Well, this quest for knowledge has led men and women to reject the creation account, for example, and rather accept a different version based on man's own preconceptions of how old the earth is. Within the church, it has not only led to this same rejection of biblical revelation concerning creation, but also to fail to respect the boundaries that God has placed on his revelation of himself. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, Moses said this: "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Let's note that the things that God has revealed belong to us and to our children forever. This was said by Moses and applied to the people of God. We have, as the people of God, an incredibly rich heritage. The things that God has revealed belong to the people of God, to no one else. That's one reason why the secular government shouldn't rule over the church, for example, as it does over the Church of England. Because unless the government is Christian, they will not understand what God has revealed. The practice of a prime minister appointing bishops and the archbishop himself is misguided. Only the church is equipped through God's revelation in his word to discover these things. So Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, fits with our verse this morning. That's from Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God has concealed much about himself. But we read that it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Think about this for a moment. God, who is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, and from everlasting to everlasting knows everything about everyone and everything about everything. There's nothing hidden from his sight. However, human beings start from a position of ignorance. We're born knowing nothing. There are many who describe themselves as agnostic. The root Greek word means unknown or unknowable. So someone who describes themselves as agnostic is really admitting their own ignorance. They're saying that I am ignorant. It is God's privilege to hide himself from us. You may have heard it said, if only I could see God, I would believe in him. It was said of an astronaut that on returning to Earth from the moon, he was asked if he had seen God, and his reply was, no, but if I had stepped out of my spacesuit, I would have done. No man has seen God, and so no man can describe him. It is God's glory to conceal himself. There's a reason why God has concealed himself from men. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, we can see precisely why. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2 tell us, this is Paul speaking, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I remember this verse came as a shock to me. That the reason I didn't know God was because I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was dead to God. I was spiritually dead because of sin. And so I would pray, but my prayers would, as it were, bounce off the ceiling. How many of us have had that experience of praying, but thinking that those prayers just aren't being heard, feeling that there is a barrier between us and God? And how easily that can lead us into rank unbelief. Because we have no experience of God ourselves, rather foolishly, it leads us to believe that he doesn't exist at all. And so, being cut off from God has led many people to atheism, to believing that there is no God. Rather than to confront the reason why God has concealed himself from them, they choose to create a reality of their own by disbelieving the very existence of God. How foolish that is. But how understandable. And while it may be foolish, I was as foolish as anybody, because that's what I did too. Note, however, the next part of our verse. It is the honour of kings to search out a matter. We start from a position of ignorance. It's a terrible thing when a ruler remains ignorant, because he is liable to make wrong decisions. Parliament declared war against Saddam Hussein on the basis of what we now know to be faulty intelligence, that Saddam Hussein had access to chemical weapons that could be launched within 40 minutes. President Trump bombed Syria on the basis that the chemical weapons that had been used against the Syrian people were in fact deployed by President Assad's forces. Many have questioned whether President Trump acted without the knowledge that President Assad had in fact been the culprit in using chemical weapons. I don't know the answer. But a president or a political leader who acts without first searching out a matter is likely to bring dishonor upon himself and his nation. In order for politicians to make correct decisions, they need to find out the facts first. And this is what our intelligence services are entrusted with. When crimes are committed, it is the police who must painstakingly investigate the circumstances in order to bring the criminal to justice. To convict the wrong person brings dishonor upon the whole criminal justice system, as we have seen through miscarriages of justice over the years. As an aside, and relevant, I think, to these verses, isn't it amazing how many people have convicted God through their ignorance? They blame him for the disasters in the world, the tragedies, the wars, the earthquakes, the famines, and whatever else afflicts mankind. Without first making a diligent inquiry into the cause of these phenomena. Remember, it is the honour of kings to search a matter out. An honourable king will be one who makes correct inquiries. And are there not lessons for us? In the Christian context, to search out God and to find him is to become a king, because that is the status of every believer. We do not serve a God who cannot be known. The word of God is perfectly clear. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's John 3, verse 16, a well-known verse for all of us. God has made himself known in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. At the time of his birth, we read this in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Well, interesting, isn't it? These men were looking for a star. They had done their research. They had diligently looked into the birth of the Messiah. And their diligence bore fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's Son, and he came into the world to show the Father. This is what the exchange that the Lord Jesus had with Philip in John 14, verses 8 to 9. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" See, what the Lord Jesus was saying to Philip was, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen God, because the Lord Jesus was God. In John 10, verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. So anyone who has seen the Lord Jesus has seen God, and therefore has seen the Father. That's not to say that the Lord Jesus and the Father are the same. He doesn't say that, does he? That would mean that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were not distinct persons. But the Bible teaches that they are. Yet the mystery is that when we've seen one member of the Trinity, we've seen God, and therefore we have seen the others. And yet they are distinct, and we'll come on to that a little later. Interestingly, though, even though he was God, there were many who rejected him. Because when they saw the Lord Jesus, they didn't see God in him as he was, but they saw just him as a human being. Because as well as being God, he added to his divinity humanity. He took upon himself human flesh. He was, as a human being, created, but as God, he was uncreated. So as the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, he remained uncreated, but a body was made for him. And he became a human being. We'll never understand it, how he could be both God and man. He was not a created being as the Son of God, yet as a human being, he was created. Now, I can't put that together, but that is the teaching of Scripture. He was fully God and fully man. Two natures in one person. And so as a person, because he was God, he was not created. And so the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. His human nature was created, but his person was not, because he was God. I hope that makes sense. So how does a person come to know the Lord Jesus? You see, if many who looked at the Lord Jesus just saw him as a human being, as they did, and they, if you remember, they tried to stone him when he claimed to be God because they considered it blasphemy. They rejected his claim. It's only those to whom God revealed himself to. The Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And so, it was only those people to whom the Lord Jesus revealed himself to that actually came to know him. So you could see Jesus as a man, but you wouldn't know him as the Son of God unless it was revealed to you. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of God to choose who to reveal himself to, which makes us all helpless. How many of us might have been deceived into thinking that we've known God since our birth. None of us have known God since our birth. We were all cut off from him in our sin. Only if God has revealed himself to us after our birth can we come to know him. And we can come to know him. But we need to ask. In Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, this is what the Lord Jesus said. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do we want to know God ourselves? Then we only have to ask. And he will reveal himself to us. There is a diligent seeking after him to be done, though. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, we come to God through faith. That is, through believing in what God has said about himself in his word. It goes on in Hebrews 11, verse 6 to say, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it is those who diligently seek him that will find him, who will leave no stone unturned until they find him. And yet it is the revelation of God to us, based on God's decision to reveal himself, that enables us to know him. Because as I said earlier, it is our sin that has hidden him from us. That barrier that our sin produces needs to be removed. Otherwise, we will die in our sins and we will face the just punishment of our sins, which is an eternity in hell. And that is too dreadful for any of us, not only to contemplate, but certainly not to experience. And I hope nobody in this room this morning will ever experience the horrors of hell, from which there is no turning back. Once we have left this body, that's it. There's no second chance. And the Roman Catholics will teach that there is, that you can go to purgatory, and if people pray enough prayers for you, you can be released from purgatory and still go to heaven, but that is not the teaching of Scripture. The Lord Jesus says, No man comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, if we want to find God, we can only do it through Christ and only through faith in Christ in this world now. The Bible says, Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. Today is the day that we must respond if we hear his voice calling us to follow him. And friends, that is a command that we must obey. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God, and we will die in our sins. Yes, there is a price to pay for us. We have to be willing to give up everything to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to acknowledge that we are nothing, that we are sinners. We must confess that sin and turn away from it. And if we have committed a sin which can in part be put right, we must put right whatever we can in this life. Although we can never pay for our sin, that was paid for on the cross by God's Son, dying the death of a sinner, becoming sin, that we who knew no sin might be saved. Friends, it's an invitation that we dare not refuse. And having come to know Christ, we are made priests and kings unto our God. And we are therefore thereafter to continue to diligently seek him, to seek him through his word. And what distinguishes us from everybody else in the world is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is what Paul writes. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There are two ways to regard the Bible. One is as the word of God, the other is as the word of man. Just as there are two ways to see Christ. One is as man, the other is of God. In truth, both for the word of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a combination of the two. In that, for the Lord Jesus, he who is God, added to his Godhead human flesh. He didn't become any less God. He didn't become any less human by becoming a human being. He became a human being. He added to his divinity humanity. And the word of God was written down by human beings. So to that extent, it is the word of man, but it came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so it is also the word of God. The word of man insofar as it was penned by man. But the source of that word is God. He who's the one who inspired his word, inspired the writers, which is why they wrote Holy Scripture. And why we use an accurate translation of those original scriptures in the Authorized Version to try and get the word of God as closely as we can to the original, such that we can properly say, yes, this is God's perfect word, because it is an accurate translation of it. Friends, the word of God is revealed to us, and it is only by coming under the word of God, submitting ourselves to it, that we can come to know God more fully. Well, there are things that God has not revealed to us in his word, and things which we're not to inquire of either. They include, for example, the time of our death. I'm glad I don't know when I'm going to die. Of course, that doesn't mean to say that God has never revealed the time of his death to anybody. Peter, we read about in John 21, was told what kind of death he would die, and he was told that he would be an old man when he died. If you just turn very briefly to John chapter 21. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest not. But when thou, whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So he's being told that he would be led to his death, but that he would be an old man. He wasn't told how old he would be, but he was told he would be old. Sometimes God chooses to reveal himself, to reveal the time of a person's death. But it is not the norm. And there are many people who have been swept off this earth without any conception that they were about to go. Many of God's saints have known the time of their departure, in one sense. They've known they've been about to die. That's God's privilege, but only his privilege to reveal. In the main, it is not something that we will know about. So instead, what do people do? They foolishly reject the limits that God has placed on the knowledge that he seeks to reveal to people. They turn instead to mediums and other forbidden sources. I saw a book on the in a place we were having lunch yesterday, which talked about fortune, telling your fortune. These things are, this is forbidden knowledge. Forbidden sources, trying to fathom what only God has revealed. Well, the Bible includes God's revelation of himself. Sadly, even within the church today, we find that people do not respect the boundaries that he has set on his own revelation. In Revelation 11, verse 34, we read, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" And in Isaiah 45, verse 15, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself." Certainly we can make certain discoveries about God from creation. We're shown his eternal power and Godhead in Romans 1:20 tells us this. We know that from creation there's a God who made the heavens and the earth, and therefore, because he made the heavens and the earth in time, he must be outside time and be eternal. But more than that, the creation does not tell us any more about God. We're dependent upon God to reveal to us his nature and his identity. Even in his word, what he has revealed is what he has chosen to reveal. He tells us that there is one God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He's also revealed that there are three persons within the Godhead: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier. And that each person is God. So that God the Father is Jehovah, God the Son is Jehovah, and God the Holy Spirit is Jehovah. The Word of God reveals that they're distinguished by their properties. That the Father is eternal and uncreated and is eternally begotten. Sorry, the Father is eternal and uncreated. The Son is eternal and uncreated and is eternally begotten by the Father. The Father is unbegotten. The Son is begotten by his Father. The Holy Spirit is eternal and uncreated as well, and eternally proceeds from the Father and the Son. Yet men still want to inquire into the inner workings of the eternal Godhead and want to go beyond what is written in the Bible. But this, friends, is how to shipwreck our faith. As kings and priests, we are diligently to seek out what God has revealed and to go no further. Not to presume above our station, but to accept the boundaries that God has placed on knowledge. Well, as we've seen, as Christians, we have the marvelous privilege of knowing God and making him known. All that we need to know is contained in the Word of God. It's just like Job wrote. And he asked the question in Job 28, verse 12 to 15, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. If we want true wisdom, we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. And the Word of God reveals that wisdom to us. Friends, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And where God has concealed, we will not work it out unless it is what he goes on to reveal in his word. What is interesting about his word is it is not a book of theology. If it was, we could read chapter 1 and we'd have knowledge of a certain part of his person, wouldn't we? But what he does is literally the word of God is a mine that we need to drill into. See, the treasures are hidden in it. And the treasures of God's revelation are found from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. The only way we will fully know God, not that we will in this life, but the way to get to know him better is as we seek him in his word, as we compare scripture with scripture. This is the honor of kings to do this, friends. And we're all kings. Whether you're a man or a woman, in Christ you are a king. And we're to diligently seek out these truths from his word. And don't let's stop until we've got the answers that we're looking for. But never let's go beyond what's written from the word. No, let's not think that we know better than the word of God. None of us do. The greatest mind will not work out what God has not revealed in his word. We need, therefore, to come to the word of God with humble hearts and spirits, to allow the word of God to instruct us, to be as the Bereans, who looked into everything that Paul taught them. And you should do the same, to check that it's in the word of God. Let's not just take other people's words for it, but let's check for ourselves and so increase our knowledge and so become the honourable kings that God intends us to be. And so, returning to where we started, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of God to veil his face from humanity. It's his choice who to reveal himself to. Do you want to know him? Well, ask him to reveal yourself to him. Accept what the word of the Bible teaches about our condition, that we are sinners destined for hell, but that Christ has been sent. Christ gave up his rights in heaven. He humbled himself and took upon himself human flesh. And he died on the cross for each one of us. Each one who will turn and put his trust in Christ. He died, he paid the price for that person to come to know him. Friends, let's surrender. Let's turn from our sins. And let's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as kings and priests, let's make diligent investigation, diligent inquiry into his word, how we can know him better. And so let us grow in our knowledge and love of the Lord. And remember that just knowing him better is no good unless we put into practice those things that he teaches us in his word. So let us be doers of the word as well as hearers. Amen. Well, could we sing the last hymn, number 117 in Redemption Hymnal? God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. One, one, seven. I'm sorry? Well, we can always sing that. Include the God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Heavenly Father, we do ask, Lord, that you would help us to be diligent seekers in your word, that we would not stop until we have fully mined its treasures and hidden them in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that if you have been concealed from us, from anyone here, that they might seek to find you and to know you through repentance of sin and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. For those of us who have a privilege of knowing you, let us go on from faith to ever-increasing faith as we find these rich truths in your word. May we grow by your word, and may we make you known to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll meet at 12:45.